to the Grey Man Podcast. This retired counterterrorism agent, lifelong martial artist, and personal defense expert joins his best friend, producer Jim, to talk about personal defense and world events. This is the Grey Man, Mike Syme.
Hey, everybody.
Say yes.
Welcome back. I'm not saying yes to that. Welcome back to the Grey Man Podcast. We are on episode 7.
Close.
8.
Yeah, let me check to make sure I got that right. I'm pretty sure we did 7 last night. I mean, we can do it again. So what we talked about was wisdom, guile, and smash.
Oh, that's right. And I got it right last week.
You dang did.
I thought I had it right this week. Dang.
Number 8.
Number 8.
Yeah.
Well, we're fastly approaching where I won't know any of them. Once we get to 10, right. I don't know.
Yeah, you run out of fingers. And if it's cold, you can't do 11.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I can't really ever do 11.
So. Yeah, I can do like 10 and an eighth.
Well, I'm bragging, Cam, going for that.
Hung like a buck gerbil, man, I'm telling you. Look out. So we're here on a Sunday.
Yeah,
welcome back to the regular time to record.
Yeah. But
this is just as we were coming into it. You usually compare what we're drinking. Of course, I'm teetotaling for the rest of March until Easter Day, so I'm on my diet due. And you revealed you have 0 things to drink.
0. No water, no bourbon, nothing. Yeah.
So is it drug related?
Like, no, it's actually not. I just didn't grab anything before I came down here, and I'm all right.
So just poor planning.
Yeah, poor planning on my part. I mean, I finished my post-workout protein shake before I came down. I think that's maybe what it was. I was finishing that and didn't even think about it.
So you did drink some protein. Got it.
Yeah. Yes.
Now it's starting to make sense. Yeah.
One of these days we'll release all the free session talks. Well, and maybe if we ever get people that want to pay for it.
Yeah, there you go. That's
machine,
you
can hear all of the lead up, all the lead up conversations.
That's where the money shot's at.
Literally.
Recording.
Put
them on. Oh yeah, not the
truth. But it's been a crazy week.
Things have happened. Yeah,
I didn't really think so when we first started talking. I was like, I don't really have any place to go with this, but
yeah. Well, so the reason we decided to record, and maybe you're sick of hearing it. Listen, it's all over my TikTok and my news feeds talking about the State of the Union address, how bad it was. Nobody, of course, if it's your guy, then of course he was great. And if it's if you're a diehard Republican, then of course it was great. But they were the POTUS blabbering fool. I don't know how someone could listen to a speech of his. And here again, I'm going to put this
and think that is coherent.
How is that a strong speech? There were moments of clarity where you could tell it was practiced and well done, well thought out, well practiced. But there were other moments where he was slurring, sounded legitimately drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not the guy that gets passionate about this. And this one is driving me absolutely crazy that our next president, if things continue as they are today, and there's every reason to believe they will,
mm-hmm.
our next president will sound like an absolute batshit, crazy, deluded, and demented leader of this nation. Like
on either side.
How can we not do that?
And it's funny, in not a political sense, but
is it?
Yeah. So since we're talking about the State of the Union address, the other presidential candidate, Trump, released a video on his X account using Snapchat filters.
Yeah.
Like that's our political endeavor now. Wow. That's really what we've come down to. An absolute Alzheimer's dementia patient wandering through one of the shittiest State of the Union addresses I have ever listened to in my adult life.
Mm-hmm.
I stand by that statement.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a fucktard megalomaniac who is using Snapchat filters.
Yeah, that's the best. Yeah.
This is the best we can do. America, you deserve what you get. I said that this week. Yes. I said that this week in a conversation. This country deserves what it gets as a president because we've allowed it to happen.
Yeah, okay. This is a difficult conversation I want to have with you about that. I hear what you're saying. How can that be true? Okay, so we deserve what we get.
Yep.
Yes. Now, and this is touching close to home. We actually just talked about this before the recording. Mm-hmm. The healthcare that veterans get. And that was one of the things in the State of the Union that we were commiserating about before we got here. But now that we're here, I did have this thought this week, and I'm glad you said the way you did. You deserve what you get. How is that true? How can that be true? So we deserve what we get, yes, but I can't control who is put at that level, right? There's nothing I can do directly to control that.
That's not true. Yes.
Okay,
that's not
but
true.
But how can you be getting such shitty healthcare, and you fought, right? And hear
I have
me
an
out
answer
that.
For
like,
where you're going.
How, yeah,
I have
how
an
can
answer for where you're going.
You deserve because what you get. Veterans, that's not true.
We as veterans do not put enough pressure on the United States as a lobbying group to change the VA.
Okay.
We don't.
And same with presidents. So how do
100% us as individual voters, we have a direct say. We do, because we elect our state representatives,
right,
and people that go to the state house and the people that go to Congress, right?
Right.
The state decides who the electoral college is.
Right.
We chose those motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Right. And we also, by direct vote, choose who goes to Washington to serve in Congress by direct vote.
Yeah. And we chose them before it got so stupid. Right. Like I'm not trying to make excuses.
Them.
Right.
We keep choosing them. Yeah. No. So there's no excuse. Oh. Right. Sure. We chose it before it got stupid, but we keep fucking choosing them.
How about have you been watching the ads? And I know the ads are always terrible. But in North Dakota, I'm seeing, again, big North Dakota making a huge difference. But we've got our governor position is up for election. The current governor is not coming back. And the two people that are on the ads on the TVs that I'm watching anyway and on the stuff online are just bashing Biden and touting about how the one is absolutely sucking Trump's cock on his ass.
Yeah, 100%.
Loving him. The other one is all about guns and you know, the gun control, and they're taking our guns and blah 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 and all this shit. And she's held somebody up at gunpoint and shop and family business because the police couldn't arrive on time. And this is what they're. But the idea, it's so fucking negative. It's what are you doing?
All right. I think there's I got a thing on my camera. So you guys, you're never going to see this.
I was in the middle of it. I thought I was doing a pretty good, like I was standing on my pedestal and all of a sudden Mike is gently caressing my face. Like, are you calming me down? What's it? Shh. Yeah, he's putting
there was just a thing that was on the side of my camera. It was bugging me.
I know I've done a terrible job of putting these up on video. I need to get back to it because that was absolutely worth just watching. Because your face, even I could tell you were concentrating and tickling my whiskers there. That was made me feel good. So anyway, what the hell's that? Oh yeah, bad political ads. So
yeah, they are.
But the thing is, by the time it gets to us, and I hear what you're saying, I agree. We are the ones that put them there.
Mm-hmm.
However. So now I'm in a position. I don't have a choice. I don't have nothing.
But you
I
do.
Can do right now.
No,
until next time. So
it's not true.
What do I do now?
You always have the choice to vote independent or write somebody in.
Right.
And I get people will say, well, then that just gives the other guy the win. I don't fucking care.
Sure.
To say you don't have a choice is an absolute cop out and a lie. And a lot of Americans say that a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of the people that I talk
doesn't
to,
matter what I do.
Yeah. But you have a choice. Yeah. You can vote Democrat, Republican, write in, or you can vote in independent. You get all of those choices.
None of the above.
Or not vote at all, right? Mm-hmm. All of those are choices.
Yeah.
The only caveat I say is if you don't cast a vote, I don't listen to your opinion post-election. Whether you vote Democrat, Republican, independent, write-in, whatever it is, if you cast a vote, I will listen to you. We can sit down and have a political conversation, talk about the government. I may not agree with you, but we can have a good discussion. If you don't vote, I don't give you the fucking time of day.
Yeah.
Not 1 minute of my time. You have no say.
Yeah, I came to terms a long time ago with my vote is, and maybe this is why I feel the way I do. My vote is more for my conscience than it is for having an effect on the end result.
Well,
I need to know that I did something right?
At the national level, I could see
yeah.
that.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. No,
at
I
the
go
local
so
level, it
there have been
matters.
times. Yeah, there
local
have been
and state,
times
it really matters.
When I go in to vote and I legitimately don't cast a vote on some election, I won't cast a vote. I'll be perfectly clear about this. I won't cast a vote if it's uncontested. I'm not going to vote for someone that is uncontested. I'm not going to vote for the official newspaper of North Dakota because
Yeah.
it's uncontested. I'm not going to vote for a judge if there's not two to choose from. If there are two people listed and it's
That's fair.
two positions, I'm not voting for a person that's already going in. That doesn't do anything for me. And it doesn't do anything for our process. That all that tells me is that we need to get more people involved. And if I were ever that interested, I would be. I'm not.
Me either.
Yeah. Yep. So more power to you if you are. And we're two guys that are sitting here saying, do something if you want to make a difference. And neither of us are going to run. Like neither of us are interested or frankly.
But we
I'm
still
not
have a vested interest,
yeah,
right? We
exactly.
still have a vested
Yeah.
interest. We can make a difference by voting and staying current on news and what's going on in our local governments and business. And I'm a business owner, so it matters what happens in this county, what happens in the city, what happens in this state.
Yeah.
My vote has a direct impact on whether or not my taxes go up at the local level and at the state level, and all of that matters. So I follow that very, very closely. But again, people who say that their vote doesn't matter at the national level, it's just a fucking cop out to help you feel better. It does. You put people in place by your vote at the state that determine the Electoral College.
Yeah, right.
And you put people in Congress that make laws. Now, if you don't like the same people continually going there to Congress, then don't vote for them, but somebody else.
Right.
You have the ability to write in. You could start a massive ground roots campaign to write somebody in on the ballot who could get elected to go to DC.
And this gets down to a really root issue with us as human beings. Yes, that's really hard work. And yes, that would take a lot. And it would take, in the political climate, almost a miracle, right? To pull something off that could make that
but
happen.
But it can be done.
And it's taking away the excuse. And a lot of us at our core want that excuse so that it's easier to live and the responsibilities off my shoulders. Well, we're here to say, and this is how we make a difference. This is how you and I justify our existence here in the political realm, as we can talk about it here and maybe make an influence, right? Maybe make a difference at some level. There's somebody out there that hears something that triggers getting it done. More power to you if you do, but that's what we've got. A couple microphones and
voices. Some voices.
Yeah.
Yep. And a little bit of experience.
A little bit. Yeah. Between us, we're over 100.
We're some old sumbitches.
Goddamn.
Listening to the State of the Union, at no point in the State of the Union this time, it really did just sound like a re-election campaign speech. It really did. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they do, but most of the time it talks about, the agenda for that administration for the next year for the country.
Yeah.
What I heard was our agenda for overseas.
Yeah.
And nothing dealing with the actual problems that we have
inside
this country.
And about how bad the previous president had done.
Yep. And how they can't, and how this administration can't get anything done because the Republican Party is preventing it by kowtowing to Trump, which is a cop out. And I'm not a fan. I'm not a card carrying Republican. I'm not a fan of the Republican Party, just like I'm not a fan of the Democratic Party. But stop. They're talking about all the bills that they couldn't pass. Well, stop putting fucking shit in there that has nothing to do with what the bill is.
It's as crazy.
Right?
How that's gotten out of control. And there's how could we go back at this point without
it's just standard practice
overhauling
now.
The system? Yeah.
Yep. So there are only two ways it's going to change. And both of them at this point, I firmly believe, are external pressure. Grassroots movement to rebuild Congress by voting all these assholes out, which we both know is not going to happen.
Yep.
Or
too much power there. Yeah.
Yep. Or violence. Which
yeah,
farther
external.
We get, that's external. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like the war, like the conflict.
Yeah, there are three
happens. Yeah, yep. Because that shifting, what has to happen. It's shifting our focus, right? Because right now we're all focused on the problem, and there won't be a way to focus on the fix without shifting away from what the problem is. Yeah. So we need something. And that's where World War II was a glorious rebirth for the U.S., right?
It was. That's what pulled us out of the Great Depression. That's the only thing. FDR's policies were bankrupting America. They weren't getting us out of the Great Depression. They were bankrupting us further. Mm-hmm. What got us out of the Great Depression was fighting the Nazis and the Japanese. That's what pulled us out of the Great Depression.
Right.
War is fucking phenomenal business.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Yes.
The war machine in the U.S., the industrialized war machine in the U.S. is second to none.
Yeah. And we're poised for it.
Trillions. Yeah. And trillions of dollars made for this country off of it.
I don't want it. I don't want people to have to die for
it. I agree.
I wish it could be something on a board somewhere or on a computer screen that we're fighting virtually, sending robots against each other, but we're not there yet. So we've got one more of these global conflicts to get through. And then, of course, you know, one of the things that'll fix it is building a dock on the Gaza Strip.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Thing that I heard that is going to resolve all of the things.
We're taking on the task, like $180 billion in aid going to the Ukraine, Israel, and Gaza. And one of the things in this package that the president was pledging is to build a dock in Gaza so that humanitarian aid supplies would get into the strip faster. And they're like, well, but there will be no American boots on the ground. Well, how the fuck are you going to use the U.S. Navy?
Robots. I told you.
Yeah. Like, robots. If you're going to send the U.S. Navy over there, the Mediterranean fleet that's stationed out of Naples, you're going to send them to Gaza to build a floating dock like we did at D-Day? Is that what we're doing? But then still boots have to be on the ground. You can't. That's an absolute fucking lie out of his mouth. A blatant lie out of the president's mouth to say that there will be no American boots on the ground when this thing is built. That is ridiculous.
Yeah. I heard a lot of just like you said, campaign pledges. We're going to do this and we're going to, I've talked about it on the show here before. I paid off my student loans because I was sick of waiting for the payoff from the government that was being promised as much as it was. And it feels like everything else too, that he talked about is just, we're going to do this and this is going to be great. And I won't let we heard that a lot in the,
I won't let that happen.
Yeah. Well, really? So what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing?
Nothing but building. And he's like, I've cut the national debt. Did you remember when he said he cut the national debt?
Yeah. Did he?
$27 trillion when he took office. It's $34 trillion now.
Yeah, like, but it could be worse.
And he gave the single biggest tax cuts to Americans in history and better than the previous administration, which factually is a fucking lie.
Yeah, but it's true now because he said it.
It's absolutely a lie. And yet people buy this hook, line, and sinker. $180 billion in aid being sent out of this country at a time when we have a quarter of the population that goes to bed hungry every single night. And I'm not a touchy-feely guy. And I don't know if we talked about this last episode. I got some test results back that kind of determine, like, the reason why I'm not so touchy-feely and I don't have empathy and
we didn't talk about that.
We'll get to it. Okay. Everybody, I told her show, and she's like, of course you do. That was her response. Like,
Are you a psychopath? That's awesome.
Well, I'm kind of sociopathic, but knew that already.
We all pitch.
Yeah, obviously.
That's how we became friends, yeah.
$180 billion. But we have a quarter of the population who goes to bed hungry every single night. Yeah. And, you know, that stuff doesn't really bother me most of the time. We give of our paychecks to charities to help with that. Mm-hmm. I don't go to soup kitchens and feed people, but I have a resource that I can donate so that helps, but I do it locally, not nationally. And we have veterans, an epidemic right now for veterans that are homeless. We have an epidemic for veteran suicide. $180 billion could put I say this knowing that not every homeless veteran wants to be in a home.
Right.
Like, there are some people that have mental health issues that are homeless, and some people choose to be homeless. They legitimately do. Portland's a great example. There's a giant population out there that's choosing to be homeless on purpose. Mm-hmm. But just as a number, all homeless veterans could be put in a home 200 times over with $180 billion. Yeah. that we're sending to the Ukraine, to Israel, and to Gaza.
But it's the same. It's the same thing, though. That money isn't any more real than the promise of what they're going to do with it. It's all bullshit.
But the money is a promise, and it's not real in the sense that we're not handing over dollar bills.
Right.
But we are sending the money over in aid packages.
Yeah.
We are legitimately spending money that we don't fucking have.
Right.
In countries that we shouldn't be giving money to. Ukraine, I get that Russia will always be the enemy to me. Always. We talk about this all the time.
Yeah, crotchety old man.
Yep, but Ukraine is a European problem.
Yeah.
So, in the Europe is starting to stand up now and take responsibility for it.
Oh.
Finally.
And Switzerland just became, that's another thing that happened this week. Didn't Switzerland just get into NATO?
Sweden.
One of them. One of those Swiss.
Yep. Sweden did.
Sweden.
And it pissed off the Russians, but the Russians didn't do anything they said they were going to do prior, which I knew they wouldn't.
Well, right.
They made big threats about Sweden becoming part of NATO.
Yeah.
But now they are. So Norway and Sweden, awesome. Two countries in NATO, but Sweden used to be part of Russia pre-World War
One.
That's why they're so pissed.
Sure.
And you can actually trace the Viking bloodline leadership of Sweden back to Russians.
Yeah, there's just a whole big messy pile of goo.
That historically, it's been ethnically, but it's like saying the Ukraine should be part of Russia because they're ethnically Russian. There is a large part of the Ukraine that's ethnically Russian.
Right.
That's because Russia fucking took it over
at the
beginning of the 20th century and then had babies for the last 120 years. Of course, a lot of the population is fucking ethnically Russian.
Let's talk about the U.S. If we want to talk about ethnically, what are we?
Jesus.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy with that notion that, well, they're ethnically Russian, so that we shouldn't get involved. No, it is NATO. They're part of NATO, which is good.
Yeah.
But, and the Ukraine, the war in the Ukraine is tacitly a NATO problem. Tacitly.
Ukraine is NATO? Opinion.
No, it's tacitly a NATO problem.
Okay, all right. I thought you said they were NATO. I'm like, shit, that changes things.
The last holdout for Sweden getting into NATO was actually Hungary.
Yeah. Because they're afraid of how
Russia's going to react.
Yeah,
and Russia's, the Ukraine's on Hungarian doorstep, right? But no, what I'm saying is the Ukrainian war is tacitly a NATO problem,
but
it is wholly a European Union problem.
Right.
But it is an EU problem.
Police, so we need to fix it.
Yeah.
Been our thing.
And that's gone so well for us over the last century or so. But that's where this, I am honestly, and I was okay in the beginning supporting Ukraine. I really was in the beginning. Let's prop them up. Let's get them started. Europe, we're going to tee it up for you. You got to swing hard, right?
Yeah.
And then we're 3 years into it. And Europe's just now stepping up to the plate. So we legitimately have been footing the bill for the Ukrainians.
Yeah.
And we're pumping money into Israel. And now we're building some fucking dock in Gaza. And yet we have this. Oh, by the way, $180 billion could complete an entire border, like secure the border from east to west, the easternmost point of the United States with Mexico to the westernmost point of Mexico, five times over.
Oh, that'd be pretty secure.
Yeah,
five walls?
We're just sending this shit overseas, putting ourselves trillions of dollars more in debt. And that's just one part of the State of the Union address that really, really bugged me.
Yeah, there's so many. Yeah, like I can't tell you how many times we texted during the event,
yeah.
I think we only texted a couple times, I think because both of us were just so frustrated.
Yeah, I think it was a good thing we were just.
Yeah, I can't tell you. Okay, so there have been some, I'm going to take a sidestep here real quick. Technology changes in my life. I switched, I think I talked about it here. I went from Android to iPhone. So now I am a fanboy. I've got everything I know. I am iPad, iTV, Apple TV. Got it this really cool Apple Watch from a guy that I know. Fucking A, man. Everything is Apple. So what we did, we were paying for our local cable provider over $100 a month for our local channels and a handful of other things that you can get elsewhere, but they wouldn't bring the price down, so I dropped it. And I got to tell people about this. They're not, so Hulu is not a sponsor of the Gray Man podcast yet, but if you want to spread the word, if you know somebody,
yeah,
then I'm talking them up. Hulu Live, dude, I can. So I was watching the State of the Union live on essentially broadcast TV, but on my smartphone. And I could carry it with me. I'm watching live stuff now on my phone, and it's good quality. It's reliable. Mm-hmm. Over the air stuff. We live in a spot that's really weird. We have a townhouse, and I think because of the cement on either side of the house, we don't get good reception. So I've got Wi-Fi. I've got a really good Wi-Fi set up. We can't really watch over the air TV, but Hulu Live, everything local, all of the Hulu stuff, all of the channels that we'd ever want to watch, everything is right there. Fucking awesome. So I'm watching it on my phone. I've got my tablet out. I'm typing stuff. I can text you from my fucking tablet. Oh my God, Apple is awesome.
Yep.
So, but worth it. That's kind of what it came down to. So all of these things are happening. And I, at the end of all of it, I think, so I, at the end of all of it, my message to Mike, and I told you before the show, I don't usually quote myself, but I'm pretty proud of this piece of work. So I'm gonna broadcast it to the universe. POTUS was a blabbering fool, and the Republican rebuttal sounded like an influencer's draft Daily Post rejected for sounding too fake. And what I was so proud about from that was I woke up the next morning and people were making fun of her. The where was she from? Alabama? Someplace over there. One of the Carolinas.
And I'm losing my touch, yeah.
Yeah. I was going to get her name down too, and I didn't, but making fun of how she sounded like this housewife. I remember one person on TikTok was pretending to be her. She was in the kitchen and how she was talking about, now I'm not allowed to watch the State of the Union, but my husband told me what I was supposed to think. And that's kind of what it felt like. She was just, oh my God, the children, and using a 20-year-old Mexican criminal case to make a point about what's happening in the U.S.
Yep.
And just all these things that came out, just so fake, so staged. I don't understand. It felt
Katie
like
Britt, Republican of Alabama.
Alabama. What was her name?
Yeah, Katie Britt.
Katie Britt. So if she was up and rising, that had to have killed her.
Dude, that was brutal.
Her career. How did they let that happen? What is wrong with us that we're allowing at that level? How many levels of people did she have to get through with the approvals from the Republicans, from the people around her? It's bad people around our president, around the next Republican president hopeful, this person that's young and a congresswoman, and she was able to say these things and come across like that. It obviously worked with somebody. It was a demographic that we're not, obviously.
Yeah, the true American political endeavor is dead. Mm. We're actually, we have apneic death gasps. That's what we're going through right now, in my opinion.
I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't. It's a scary time, man. It makes me nervous too. I hate saying shit like that, but it's true. All Republics fault. All Republics fault. Mm. We are no different. And I said this, I probably season one or season two.
Yeah, first episode.
Yeah, we're gonna change it. We will not. They cannot continue to be a constitutional or a democratic republic. You know, we're a federal republic.
Right.
We can't stay a federal republic because the population shifts and technology shifts and people shift and times change and all republics fall. So we are going to change in one way, shape, or form. It's going to change. It absolutely is.
We're just going to become North Mexico, probably.
Or Southern Canada.
Why not both?
Yeah, just split the country in half, and that's what we'll do. So it was a wholly disappointing, absolutely ridiculous and embarrassing State of the Union. The rebuttal was pathetic.
Yeah.
Which goes is par for the course for the Republican Party, because they're a dead party.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at who they're choosing as.
Let me ask you this. You're a guy that studied politics. Why wouldn't Trump be the one to have given the rebuttal?
Well, one, because they haven't, the Republican National Convention has not chosen him yet as their nominee.
Right.
I mean, we know that's who it's going to be.
Yeah.
But he's also controversial, bombastic.
Yeah. That's what they want.
Ish, not every Republican. Not all. They know that there's some bad press right now because a lot of people in the Republican Party. Yep. Well, and people in the Republican Party in Congress are voting based on what Trump is telling them to do. So I think what they were trying to do is distance themselves from that, pick somebody who's not well known, you know, maybe somebody who's an up and coming, and give him a shot. But it was absolutely embarrassing.
It felt like a sacrificial lamb. Like they put her out there and knowing it was going to be bad no matter
what. Or just to see what would happen.
Well, they saw.
Yeah, it was embarrassing on both parts. For the Democratic Party should be ashamed of he's our president. I say the president. I never say their president. Like, that's not my president. People say that. Fuck you. You're stupid.
Yeah.
He is your president. Whether you voted for him or not, it's the president of the United States. Especially, you know what, side note, what makes me mad is when veterans say this. That's not my president. You know what? You swore an oath to uphold the office of the president and the Constitution, not the person. If you're so invested in the person who holds the office of president, then you are violating your oath under the Constitution. And enlisted guys will be like, well, I'm not in anymore. But these are the same motherfuckers who will say, like, my oath of enlistment never expires in the same breath.
Yeah. Well, you can't have,
it both ways,
yeah,
right?
One or the other,
Well, it's true. It does expire. Your oath of enlistment expires when you are separated from the military, legally speaking.
Yeah.
I get what they're trying to say. I was that guy, too. As an officer, I retired and resigned my commission. I can be called back as an officer. Mm-hmm. And you can be called back as an enlisted person too, but it's way easier to pull officers back because my contract didn't end. I just, in effect, when I retired, I resigned my commission to Congress because my commission came from Congress. Your enlistment does not.
So
Congress, my commissioning certificate is from Congress. And there's a bill that was passed in Congress, and I have a copy of it that has my name listed for commissions. They have to sign a bill every time there's for commissions. It's crazy. And for promotions to field grade officers, like when I made major, my name's in a bill there too. So anyway, if you're out there saying that's not my president, but you got mad at people saying that Trump wasn't their president, then you're a fucking hypocrite and you're stupid. Stop it.
Yeah.
The president is the president of the United States. I'm embarrassed with the president of the United States. And you should be. Democratic Party should be absolutely 100% embarrassed about what happened at the podium.
Mm-hmm.
That was ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
Every podium should be embarrassed.
Yes.
Every podium now. Yeah.
It's horrible. And then the Republican Party, you should be ashamed and embarrassed about your rebuttal.
Yeah.
Both of you should be ashamed of your performance over the last 30 years. Well, Jesus Christ. And it just further divides us and makes us more partisan. Nobody wants to sometimes when the baby's ugly, you can't be nice and say, oh, such a beautiful baby. And sometimes you're like, oh, you look just like your dad.
Yeah, you just don't have to say anything.
Your dad's ugly too. Yeah. But sometimes you got to say the baby's ugly, right?
Yeah.
You just do.
Depends on the circumstances, but all right, I'll follow your logic.
But that's my personality.
Yeah.
That's not everybody's like that.
Just saying.
Yeah. So yeah, I have that lack of kind of a, like for me, feelings don't matter, right?
What's your test result that makes you do that?
So every once in a while I have to go back for psychological testing, for my rating, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't had one in quite a few years, probably 5 or 6 years. So I went back for my annual checkup, and we just got the results back. I went back for my annual checkup, and what they do is they put you in front of a computer, and you take this battery of tests, mm-hmm. and then you speak to a psychiatrist afterwards. Mm-hmm. And I took it in a new set of testing that I hadn't taken before. And so last time I got my IQ tested, and this was, I think, in 2002, it was 144.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been kind of an odd duck anyway. And I've got some behavioral things from when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I have touch issues and tactile sensation issues, sound issues. And,
mm-hmm.
And I've had that from when I was a kid. Like, I don't, even when I was a kid, deviating from the plan, I did not care for that at all. And as an adult, it definitely, about it gives me anxiety, even as an adult.
Yeah.
So they do all these battery of tests. I go talk to the psychologist or psychiatrist. And then it took for like way longer than I was expecting to get the results back. I knew that my PTSD rating wasn't going to change. I feel mentally healthier than I did the first time I took the test and got my rating. But it's still there with PTSD. But they did a set of tests that tested for other types of anxiety or bipolar and depression or autism and ADHD. And there's this battery of tests that they didn't come to find out, surprising to no one that knows me really well, I'm a bit on the spectrum.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, that's... Oh, that's... Is that it? Is that your big news?
That's it.
Lord,
yeah.
I thought you were going to be like sexually attracted to Jell-O or something. I mean, that's the autism. Yeah. No shit.
Yeah.
Taking you 50 some years?
No, I've kind of known for a long time since I knew really what the spectrum was. But it's funny because when I said it jokingly, I got new results.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Right. And Michelle's like, yeah.
So what's the new part? Yeah.
Yeah. And so I joked around with a couple of people at Spectrum too, like Kyler and a couple of people of our other employees. And they're like, and I know it's,
no, it's yeah. It's like,
apparently I don't have a sense of humor either. That's the thing.
It's like your nephew, Bruce with the lisp, the effeminate nephew, Bruce with the lisp that comes out after 20 years of everybody else knowing.
Same thing.
So
it just makes sense for me with a lot of the things from my childhood. Mm-hmm. Take out childhood trauma, just my inherent personality, a lot of things from my childhood. I'm like, oh, a lot of this makes, I've always had one good friend. I don't have a lot of friends. I don't like having a lot of friends. I don't like having a lot of acquaintances.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have one good friend. Like I have close friends.
There's,
you know what I mean?
Yep, there's groups of, different
levels. Like my circle, my 2 a.m. circle is pretty small.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But like really small.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't want it to be any bigger than what it is.
Yeah.
But I don't handle well dealing with more than one friend. Mm-hmm. And I don't like, I can connect emotionally with people, but a lot of times, and here's the shocker for a lot of people who are listening to this that didn't know this, it's really, I'm just playing a game. Mm-hmm. I know really, really well how to connect because that was my job for a long time.
Well,
most of the time, I'm not really connecting with you. I understand through research and training what you're saying to me and how I should respond to it to get elicit a response from you. But on honesty, I'm not connecting with you on any level at all.
So I haven't been tested, but I have that in a sense that I witness how others do. And then I do. And that's how I've become charismatic is I watch how others get what is a social norm built up. This is how people do things. Well, I'm good at watching how people do things. Well, then I watch for the best way to do things to get a certain result.
Mm-hmm.
So when you and I first met, we were doing that. Like we did this dance for a while before we really, and like the reason that we became the level of friends we did is because we didn't do all the bullshit. We didn't do the things that meant we had to stop because it got to be too much. We could just be. And we have people in our lives and this may be getting a little deep here, but we have people in our lives that are jealous of how we do connect like that. And it's a natural thing. I know people that I think, man, I want to have that relationship. Well, you and I have that and we have that with our spouses and we have that with very few other people because of all the shit that we've had to go through to just be with people and to take some of that out and to put some things in that are real to us that I think is different than what the social norm is out there. And it's draining what you talk about, that thing where we're social with other people. And I don't mean it to take away from either of us being with other people. I love it. I went out with family last night. I went out with family last night. Was it draining? Hell yeah. I'm not drinking. So going out with people right now sucks. Because I don't get to have that filter reducer, right? So that button is on all the time. Very draining, but I still enjoy it. I don't enjoy the lead up to it. I don't enjoy the coming down from it. But the time that I'm there, if I'm not enjoying it, it just is. I'm at a point in life now where I can just be. Mm. It's fine. I can stare at nothing and just do nothing for a little bit. I'm okay with that.
Just stare into the void for a while.
Exactly. So I think that's there too. So when I hear you say that it has a lot to do with your training, I think that's there for you too. And I also want to put that out there that I think a lot of us kids of the 80s, if we had grown up now where we're talking spectrums and, you know, past the point 20 years ago where it was just all medicated and everybody was supposed to be good kids. Now we're recognizing what those differences are. I think we would have grown up to be different people. And I don't know that I'd choose different.
Yeah, you're not. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to be the man that I am. And I also recognize that my grandkids are being treated in a different way that I think is going to allow them to be more, I don't know, easier paths into adulthood, maybe. I don't know that for sure, but it feels like they can at least communicate at a different level that we didn't have access to.
I don't think I would want to grow up with this diagnosis in today's society. I'm honestly, you wouldn't be the man
that you are for sure.
Nope, zero chance. I would not be the function. I would not have the skill sets, and I mean, I wouldn't have gotten into the military.
Right. Yeah.
Legitimately.
So you think, okay, so what are we doing? Yeah.
It would have been a very, very small skill set that I'd have to score very high on to get even in the military, do a very specific thing in a room somewhere, you know, with computers or like Intel or something. And just,
maybe,
it's weird. It's weird.
Maybe that's what, two generations from now, the military looks like is we do look at a spectrum and say, that's the guy, that's the one that we want to train to do this. And that feels a little, what are those dark movies about the future called?
Oh, dystopian.
I always say dystopian, and you say dystopian because you like dyth.
I do. In Barcelona. Yeah. Anyway, that was a weird side note, but I just thought it was funny, and it was kind of like of course, it's what I am. Like,
yeah, that's awesome.
I've figured that was me for a long time. I've read tons of research papers on it, on the broad spectrum of it. And I'm like, this is kind of where I'm at. This is where I feel like I'm at. And then I got the test results back. I'm like, holy shit, I was right.
Yeah. Yep. I think
that's exactly where I'm at. Yeah. So anyway, so that's a thing.
I don't know if I want to know either.
You guys can poke fun at me more.
Yes. Everybody poke Mike.
Yep. Just poke me. Yeah. Cause that works out real well for people.
Oh, yeah.
Ask people at the Verizon store.
Poke them with tapioca pudding. Yes. Can you poke a person with tapioca? Oh, that's a mouthful.
Poke a person with tapioca.
Poke a person with tapioca.
Just no. Let's say no.
There's a movement that I heard recently about somebody in California wants to ban firearms in all 50 states.
Oh, my God. So Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, wants to put an amendment for vote to ban firearms in all 50 states.
So it's a governor. A governor can't do that.
No, but he can start a movement in the state to petition for this amendment to be up for vote, right? So that's what he's trying to do.
Yeah.
Which if you would have asked me 5 years ago, I'd have said no fucking way. No way. Doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell. No, but this isn't going to get any traction whatsoever. I honestly don't know anymore. We have the interview on CNN of authors, and I think they were part of the Southern Law Poverty Center or something like that. Okay, I'll have to go back and check. Who wrote a book, and they got huge press for this. Huge press for this on CNN and in MSNBC and that spectrum of the news, which, and there's far right news too.
Yes.
Again, like we talked about. We've talked about it 1,000 times, but they said the single greatest threat to American democracy, the single greatest threat to American democracy are white middle-class Midwesterners.
Oh, well, I feel like I've been heard.
Because we're xenophobic, we're racist, we're Trump supporters. All of us across the border, Trump supporters. We have too many guns. We feel like this was all part of their thesis of why we are the single greatest threat to American democracy. And then there's this movement to remove the Second Amendment. And I say this all the time in all constitutional talks, any conversation about the Constitution I have with people. There's no other amendment to the Constitution. None of them have any teeth without the Second Amendment. The First Amendment, you're right, for the First Amendment, the government doesn't have to give that to you if you have no right to fight back for the government. The reason why the government is so apprehensive honestly, at its core, so apprehensive about removing amendments to the Constitution is because we have an armed citizenry for that reason. They should have a little fear of the citizenry, right? That you do something stupid, you start fucking with the Constitution, we're going to get upset, and there's going to be an uprising. That's the reason why we have the Second Amendment.
Right.
So then you don't have freedom of speech. You don't have the Fourth Amendment, like illegal search and seizures, quartering of troops in your home without cause, the Eighth Amendment, cruel and unusual punishment, repealing slavery.
Yeah.
The right to vote for minorities and women. I mean, none of these carry any weight whatsoever if the citizens of that nation do not have the ability to stop the government from removing them. People are like, well, that would never happen here. That's just hyperbole. It's not, because Venezuela, again, is our most recent example in the last 20 years of that exact fucking thing, of a democratic nation removing arms from citizens and then summarily changing the Constitution to become totalitarian, and the citizens could do nothing about it because they were unarmed.
So let's talk about how that could play out, because I hear what you're saying. I agree. And if the government today, without repealing anything, if the government were to become totalitarian through, let's say, 9 to 18 months of pressure from Congress, you get someone in the president spot, and enough Supreme Court justices that decided, okay, we need to become different, and we're no longer going to have elections, we're no longer going to recognize states' rights. Let's say we move in that direction. What is the actual likelihood that the citizenry does take up arms against that government? And right now, I would say very little. So I'm going to answer it first, and then I'll let you do your thing. Yeah, because very little.
I would say very high. And this is the reason why I do, because you'll have people like, well, all of these Americans with firearms, your AR-15, this is what I always say, your AR-15 doesn't stand up against an F-16 or a tank. You're right, it doesn't. But I've also fought in Afghanistan, and there is a population there living in the mountains that has, it's called the Graveyard of Empires for a reason. They have been fighting mechanized armies for 100 years with bolt-action goddamn rifles and winning. Like, legitimately. So they swallowed the British, they swallowed the Russian army, and we fucking got quagmired there for 20 years. And then, I'm not going to get into the withdrawal, but then left as well. It swallowed the American army. They have the ability to do this. What people don't understand is there's a large portion of the U.S. military that would simply leave. That would simply leave, and they would not fight Americans on American soil. It's not like every American soldier, sailor, airman, marine, and coastie is a robot. Well, we're totalitarian now, so we must follow Biden or Trump, or we are robots. We must follow dictator. That's not the way it works. They swore an oath to the Constitution.
Yeah.
When that Constitution is null and void, there's a lot of military personnel that are done and become part of the insurgency.
All right. That was my next question then. Yeah. All right.
And we have the ability to do it. There are population centers on the East and the West Coast, some in the Northwest and some in the South, very liberal, not going to do anything. There are pockets, Chicago, Austin, Texas, like big cities, Miami and Jacksonville and Tampa. And, you know, you'll find pockets, Minneapolis, for example, very liberal city. They're not going to do anything. But by and large, the rest of the population, in my opinion, is going to say, fuck you. And they're going to fight back, because you remove the Constitution of the United States. If you think that the Midwest is the single greatest threat to democracy in America, we're not the single greatest threat to democracy in America. We're the single greatest threat to any power that wants to remove a representative republic as a constitutional process.
Well, and
that's what we're a threat to.
Yeah, and that's part of the political environment that we live in now, is just shifting definitions of things.
Yeah.
You know, shifting the definition of what a government is. When you say the government should be fearful of its citizenry, that's not a common conception today of what a government is. The government is our teat today. the government is something that gives us. So thank you, Mother Government. And so to say that we should fight against it, well, and that, and common, right?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Yeah. I agree with you. I just think it's disgusting.
Yeah, and that's again, so we keep pointing back to some pretty common themes throughout the Gray Man episodes and series and seasons. This goes back to I don't feel in my life a connection to what America is the way that two generations ago did.
So it is different for you and I. And I know that.
For sure.
I do feel a connection to what America it should be destined to be based on our founding documents, because I've shed blood and tears for those founding documents at the behest of my government sending me all over the world. Mm-hmm. I've upheld democracies, and I've been part of toppling governments. I mean, just I've done the Lord's work, so to speak. So I have a very, very deep-seated, soulful connection, in my opinion, to that. And it hurts me to see us move farther away. But I also know, as a poli-sci guy, that all republics fall.
Yeah.
And we are destined to change. How we change is the question, though.
Right.
How? What is the catalyst? What is the force that causes us to change? Is it internal or is it external? And there are multiple external ways it could be. An internal could be an external force, an internal force in the United States, but external to the government, right? So there's multiple layers to this onion. But it just goes to show you how wide the spectrum, bring it back. Rochelle said, well, as soon as Rochelle said that, she said, you put the speck in spec ops.
Jesus Christ.
I thought it was pretty funny.
That was pretty good. Yeah, she's really kind
But it just shows you how far we've swung on the spectrum, that a governor suggesting that we put an amendment to the Constitution to ban firearms, a fundamental right under the Constitution that upholds every other amendment to the Constitution, gets political play and airtime and a following. Yeah. It's got a following.
Well, that's okay. So I'll play the devil's advocate. It doesn't surprise me because it came from California and because of our political climate. And we have to recognize that the media's play of school shootings, and anytime there's anything involving a gun, that becomes the foremost part of the conversation. So, get rid of guns. That's the fix.
And that, and my argument always to that is, okay, so everybody's like, you know, we're 13th in the world for violence.
Jesus, that's it.
Yeah.
I thought it was more.
but and some people, we were three. Some people say we're number three in the world for violence.
Stats. Go
numbers. Yeah, but stats, right? So it could be anywhere between 3 and 13.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to gun violence. Like, well, you're number three in the world for gun violence.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. I get stats, right? I'm a numbers guy. But if you take out LA, New York, Miami, Chicago, Dallas, and I want to say Indianapolis.
Really? That's a weird one, but all right.
Yeah, but it's a high.
Portland.
It is a high.
Portland
crime.
Was the other one.
No.
No, no.
Well,
it wasn't.
I mean, you can take Portland out, but yeah, but it wasn't because of systemic long-term gun violence, right? You take out those.
Oh,
you take out those cities, we're 137th in the world.
So take the guns out.
And those are all silly. Yeah, those are all cities with the highest crime rates, gun violence, the highest black on black violence, the highest gang violence, and the strictest gun laws.
Yeah, there you go.
In the nation.
Yeah. Numbers. You
take out those cities, and we're number 137th for violence in the world.
That's lower than half.
Yeah.
Count.
So it's when they use those numbers, like you were third in the world for gun violence, it's because you're not addressing the root problem of it, right?
Well, that's a whole nother issue.
Chicago's not addressing the root problem of violence in Chicago. They're not doing a fucking thing about it, but they've got the strictest gun laws, and that's going to make a difference, right? Yeah.
Well,
so we've got this, we do have this move that's attacking the Second Amendment. And I take any attack on the Second Amendment very personally. Very personally. Because the minute you outlaw those firearms, I become an outlaw. because fuck you. I am a guy that says, come and take them.
Yeah.
I dare you to show up on my front lawn.
So I'll just put this out there to our Gray Man podcast listeners. If that is repealed, we may pause the podcast for your legal protection.
Good idea.
We don't need to put that out there. I don't know. I would think there's a lot of podcasts that would have issue with that.
There's a lot of similar ones out there. So it's crazy to me. No, I'm just saying it's crazy.
Shifting gears once again. We're all over the place on this podcast.
And we have been lately. It's fine.
And I'm the guy that takes it in weird directions. This is something I mentioned to Mike that I did this week, and I told him that I was probably going to bring it up on the show, and now I am. So I had a friend I talked about here on the show. Justin passed away a month ago, a little more probably, and young guy, younger than us, and his widow is struggling with, he was the guy that took care of finances, mm-hmm. organizing the house. She works on the road. He was a guy that worked from home. So home was his domain. Right. And she mentioned kind of in passing that she's struggling. Like there's not a roadmap. There's not a book that tells you, a handbook that tells you how to deal with something like that.
Yeah.
So it got me to sit down, and I called it my postmortem letter to my wife. And I just wanted to make it simple for her. It's not a legal document. I'm not talking about the things that we all know we need to do, making what's that thing? Help me out.
A will.
A will. Yeah. Making a will and taking care of a trust for your finances and things. Those are important. We all know that. And frankly, I haven't done that either, but this was more simple. It took me two sittings because it is an emotional thing for me to sit down and write. Here's my accounts. Here's my passwords. Here's how to gain access. But then separately, here's what I want done after I'm gone. I've got things that my wife is going to have to deal with. I gave her an outline for good Lord, I'm not even drinking it. I can't think of words right now. What's that? When you die, they write out a thing for you.
Eulogy?
Nope. The thing you put in the paper.
Oh, obituary.
Yeah, thank you. Obituary. So I'd like an outline for that. Guidelines for a service, just so you don't have to think about that shit, man.
Yeah.
So it's in our fireproof safe. I'm feeling better, and it'll help me sleep in the long run. So I'm saying that because, Mike, you need to do it. Listeners of the Gray Man podcast, you want to do something like that. If nothing else, here's a password to get into all my passwords, like that, because we don't know. And as much as we prepare, you know, Mike, you are the preparedest guy, even, you know, just weeks after having hip surgery, I would be behind you when the apocalypse happens, because I know you're going to manage like today. Mm-hmm. I'm with you fellers. Right. So,
truth.
And no matter how prepared we are and how much we know we've got things under control, we've got things managed, we don't know when we're going to die. And the last thing I want to do is to have my spouse feeling extra discomfort and hassle because I just didn't take that half hour to write some shit out and make it simple for her. So there you go. Me to you. Do it, please.
I do like that. And when you told me about that, when we were talking about that, my first response was, mm-hmm. you know what? I need to do that. Mm-hmm. That is a very smart thing to do. And in such a critical time, just to take that little bit of stress off of your significant other. Here you go.
Pass it along, man.
Yeah. Do it. Please. Just do it.
Take care.
We have been all over the place today, though.
I like it.
I mean, that's what we do. It's just for us. It's just for us to talk. People come along for the ride.
Anybody listens. By the way, Al, if I haven't talked to you about this yet and you're hearing this, I got to talk to you about some Clive Cussler books that have been signed and like to find a buyer. So are you a big fan?
You like? No, I'm not, but I know the author.
Yeah, same. And I've read a couple of his books, seen a couple movies made from his stuff, and I like it, but they're hard copy books, not my jam, not something I'd be interested in, but just trying to help a friend out. So there you go. Anybody you want to talk to?
It's a swap meet today.
Fine. Call in 800swapthings.com. That's our OnlyFans. Damn, I gave it up.
Damn it.
We're swapping
things. It's not ready yet. You're not supposed to put that out there.
You want to do some shitty headlines, or you got anything else on your mind?
Nah, you know what? Just talking about the 2A and the State of the Union is kind of, I'm exhausted just getting
those two things. Well, and I got to pee. I don't know. I might need to get my prostate checked, because God dang it, we get on these shows and then about two thirds of the way through, I'm going to have to, I mean, I'll check myself. I do on a regular basis, but you know.
Oh yeah, baby.
Professional do it.
I'm ready for some shitty headlines.
Speaking of which, so these are recent. Last night, actually, I sat down and wrote these out. So, well, this one's from Reuters, yep. Rooting around Reuters with their news. Pope says Ukraine should have blank of the white flag of negotiations. And that's confusing. So Pope says Ukraine should have blank of the white flag of negotiations. So I'm going to read each one within the headline because it is so weird the way they wrote it. But that's the headline from Reuters. Pope says Ukraine should have executed the white flag of negotiations. Pope says Ukraine should have scissoring of the white flag of negotiations.
I'll always laugh.
Always. Pope says says Ukraine should have courage of the white flag of negotiations. Or Pope says Ukraine should have flown the white flag of negotiations. So which of those executed, scissoring, courage, or flown do you think fits best in that little headline there?
Flown?
Flown is incorrect. It's actually courage. So it's the
number one.
Why the fuck is the Pope saying Ukraine should be dealing with? But the Pope. So what he's saying in the article in Reuters is have courage of the white flag in negotiations. Step up and give up, everyone, just to save the
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So
Jesus Cristo.
Hey, Catholics. Do your thing. I love
you. I would not have gotten that one. That's ridiculous.
Nope, I knew that was going to be a tough one. Yeah, some of these are kind of hard. I chose some weird ones this time specifically because I needed to get scissoring in there. From the BBC, Gaza war fuels Jerusalem fears as blank set to begin. Blank is set to begin. Is it Ramadan, Easter, scissoring, or La Nina? Which of those
Ramadan
is fueling? Yeah, Ramadan is... Yep. The right answer. We knew that. We knew Ramadan was coming.
Yep.
Easter's on the way too, by the way. I'm looking. I know it's on the 31st. I fly back from seeing my daughter and her family on Easter. I get back midday. And I'm assuming that when you give things up for Lent, the day of Easter is when that's done, right? Like
I would think so.
Blasted on the flight back. And just
you should be good.
I'm having a happy Easter, everybody. Goals. AP News says, okay, the headline, Biden, Netanyahu hurting Israel by not preventing more civilian blank in Gaza. So again, I know these are tough to think, so I'll read it. Biden, so essentially Biden says, Netanyahu hurting Israel by not preventing more civilian what in Gaza? Scissoring, which I think could be a legitimate headline.
Yeah, it should be.
That's a good one. Deaths. Shielding or casualties? What is Netanyahu hurting Israel by not preventing more civilian what of in Gaza, according to Biden? So all of that, and it's from the AP News, if you want to think about the bend of the...
scissoring, deaths, casualties, deaths,
shielding. Casualties, yeah, each of those.
Deaths.
Deaths it is. Yeah, that is actually the right answer, is deaths. And I think I really do. I would like to, I would read the article that involves scissoring. Yeah. Yahoo needs to prevent more scissoring of civilians. CNN now. So here we go. CNN. Why? Did you hear about this woman that sailed around the world? She raced solo around the world. I don't understand how you race solo, but why sailor who became the first U.S. woman to race solo around the world blank upon return? So why this sailor who became the first U.S. woman to race around the world blanked upon return? Died, scissored, cried, or divorced? Sailed around
died.
The world. She came back and she cried. She cried.
Cried. She well, cried. Why wouldn't you?
Well, that's what I would cry.
Yeah.
That I would too. So I didn't even read the article. I'm like, CNN, I'm not, because it's a video. I'm not going to
watch videos. No.
But a great scissoring.
Opportunity lost.
No. Speaking of which, from CBS News, resolution to blank Secretary of State Jenna Griswold in Colorado isn't expected to go far. So there's a resolution to blank Secretary of State Jenna Griswold in Colorado, but it isn't expected to go far. Is it impeach, remove, scissor, or expel? It's not expected to go far. And
Colorado. I'll say impeach.
Yeah, you're right. So you got it to 3 out of 5. Good job.
Yeah, I did good today.
Yes, I thought scissor would have been appropriate as well.
I thought
I expected
it been
to go far because she's, I mean, far as I know, she's straight, but
you never know.
You never know. Just one drink away, all of us, one drink away from scissoring, I believe. So all right, so that's all I got.
That's all I got too. I think we covered a lot. We did. Like I said, we got a little bit of a swap meet today. So
a little bit of a swap meet. I'm gonna go pee. So you get the final word while I focus on not pissing my pants.
All right, you guys, pay attention to what's going on. I know that offhand, I'll say that this attack in the 2A isn't going to go very far. But if you are passionate about the 2A, you've got to stay in front of this and contact your elected representatives. If you are proud of the State of the Union address, you should be ashamed of yourself and perhaps reassess what you think a State of the Union address is and what a functioning president is. If you were not happy with it, but you think Trump could have done better, I say the same to you as the last one. Just take care of yourselves. We're in some crazy times, man. It's a fourth turning, and I don't like to sell fear, but it's the fourth turning, man. We have no idea what's going on right now. People are crazy. This election, I think there's going to be some type of violence in this next election. Woo! Not widespread, but there's going to be some.
Put a pin in that. Talk about it next time around. I like that.
We'll do that. But you guys take care of yourselves and stay healthy.
It is the Gray Man Podcast. We'll see ya.
Find us on Facebook, YouTube, and your podcast app at The Gray Man Podcast. All rights reserved, Skunk and Gator Creations.